Morning to you. No, I'm not nervous. I'm extremely nervous. Please forgive me. I have a lot on my heart that I'd like to share with you this morning. And hopefully I'll get it in the right sort of sequence. Because sometimes you can get these things a little bit back to front, as it were. But, you know, one of the things that's interesting is that some time ago, Andrew mentioned Ken, who was retiring. And I must admit, I thought, oh no, shame. But then he said, no, but he's still available. He's still going to mentor. He's still going to be available. Which very simply means that as a Christian, you don't retire. You may leave your position. You may change location. But you never retire. And so I just wanted to share a bit of my background personally. I'm a Zimbabwean, born, bred, so is my wife. From that side, my heritage is very English. The fact that some of the English people have been there 200 years is immaterial. But my wife is not English. Her family have been in there for about 300 years in Africa. So we've been here. We moved here in 2004 because it was quite difficult to live there, put it that way. And so we've been here in Bournemouth, serving in a church there. I had a full-time job, quite a pressurized job, quite a responsible job. And I found myself getting tired. When I say tired, genuinely I was tired. The day came for me to retire, and I thought, that's it. Retire, and also potentially from the church and the pressure of the position in the church there. And so for me, the idea was to find a really nice church, come and sit down in the left-hand side about halfway back, because we like that. We do like our seating. And just sit on a pew. And, you know, the Lord had very different ideas for me. So I find myself here this morning, not because I've sought this, but because I believe the Lord has wanted me to be here. When I first got to Kingsland, it was COVID, so we didn't go anywhere. When COVID opened up, we went looking for a church. So we went, found a church in Kingsland, because that was sort of the obvious place to go. But I wasn't totally at peace there. And the Lord kept prompting me to go elsewhere, and this church kept coming up. Grace Community Church kept coming up on the radar, and I thought, what's going on here? The gate was closed when I first came and looked at it. There was no one here, and I actually had to persevere to come here. I know that sounds crazy, but and you know, because the Lord, I believe, has wanted me to come here, and I'm truly grateful, because what I found here is. I dare I say, a pastor who preaches the truth, who lives the truth, and is prepared to stand by the truth. And maybe I might be a little bit weaker than him in certain areas. Very definitely am. But at the same time, if you're going to stand for something, you need to know it's the truth. And Andrew preaches the truth. And so hopefully this morning, so will I. But at the same time, we sometimes come to a place in our Christian lives where we're here. We are going to sit in the pew and relax. And for me, one of the things I'd like to show that, or show you, share with you, because this morning I don't want to preach as much as share with you with my life. And that is what I really want to do. So I want to encourage you. I'd like to challenge you. And from that side, the encouragement needs to come from the fact that the Lord has not finished working with any of us. And the fact that you're here today means the Lord has brought you here by purpose, by intention. So in other words, the Lord doesn't choose us and call us by mistake. He has intention. And so for me, I've been doing the communion, sharing on the communion. And one of the things that I think I say it every time is examine yourself. And for me, what has happened is in the period of time that I've been here, I've had to examine myself. I've actually tried to listen to my own preaching, to my own words, what I'm saying to myself, examine myself. And I've examined myself before the Lord, and I found myself wanting. We're all wanting it, but I found myself in the stage of having habits possibly and things in my life that are not pleasing to the Lord. And so for me, the desire that I've had is to work out these things with the Lord, to bring myself before Him, to repent, and make sure that I'm in as best a place as I can be to serve the Lord. The Lord has called me to serve Him, no matter what capacity. So some people, we were talking about gifts the other day, and sometimes I think we can get caught up in the gifts. And really, for me, each and every one of us is a gift to the church in ourselves. And you know, there are things that we can do that are part of our character, part of our makeup to actually serve the Lord. But I have been called to serve the Lord in whatever capacity is in front of me. And one of the things that I found is that over a period of time, I've lost a little bit of the vision of the purpose and the plan that the Lord has for me and for the church, the overall church, and for our church here in Stourbridge. And so for me, what I want to do this morning is talk about the fact that when we start off as a Christian, we get the scripture like Romans 12:2. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And one of the things that I've found in my own life is I've stopped growing. Is that the right word? Stopped maturing. In other words, I'm okay now. I've reached this stage. I've been a Christian for a long time. Not a good one always necessarily, but very simply, I've been a Christian for a long time. And one of the things that we need to understand is that if we want to develop the fruits of the Spirit, we need to continue to grow. We can't just stop and stagnate. And the Lord has been speaking to me about the fact that I've been quite happy to go and park in a pew and relax. Is that the right way? And we shouldn't, because the Lord has not finished with us. And if you have a look, Paul often speaks of it in three or four of the letters, the epistles. Paul speaks about the race, the running this race. And nowhere does he say, you can stop and take a rest, which probably what I've been doing to an extent, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I'm not going to say anything. And the question that you need to ask yourselves, I've been asking myself, so I want to share it with you. Have you been examining yourself? What are your fruits like? Are the fruits on the tree and they're there, that's fine, but you're not growing, you're not maturing, your fruit is not increasing. You know the fruits of the Spirit. We all understand that Galatians 5, where it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. And very simply, are we growing? Can other people see that you're still growing? And for me, I've had to actually answer that question myself and say probably not until in the last couple of months, 3-4 months. But for a while, for about a year, I've been quite happy to settle. And that's not what the Lord wants of us. And so for me, very clearly, the Lord has not finished with us. And I don't know if any of you fish. Okay, fish, I like fishing. I don't always get the chance. And once or twice I've had the opportunity to go salmon fishing. It's quite an expensive sport, so it doesn't happen very often. Maybe twice in the last 10 years. But I don't know if you're aware that a salmon, they come upstream, they swim upstream, and they end up in the spawning beds, they spawn, and then they die, or some of them go back to sea. But you find salmon who get tired. And what happens, they end up in a little backwater, and that's where they stay. And a salmon who doesn't go to the top ends up going brown and starts to actually decay while it's alive. In other words, it actually starts to die while it's alive. And it doesn't go anywhere. And for me, that is an incredibly graphic picture of my own life. If I stop and sit in the backwater, because I believe that if we're not going forward, you're actually going backward. You are actually not going to be in a place where you could do anything at all. So it's a little bit of a graphic example, but it's they're there. And the salmon do actually eventually rot away and die. And so I get a bit nervous about it. But very simply, the Lord has not finished with us. And so I want to ask you, when he talks about the race, he speaks about it in, I think it's four different epistles, where he says, quite a few different places, what has stopped you from racing? And what has stopped me from racing is my own self, me, my selfish part, the carnal man, what we call the flesh. And very simply, I've allowed that flesh, the laziness, the parking off, to actually start, start to control my life, where I've actually stopped actually serving the Lord. Not necessarily stopped serving Him, but stopped growing, stopped progressing, stopped wanting the Lord to work in my life. And I just want to read to you from Hebrews. If you've got your Bibles with me, I do like to read the scriptures, you'll find out. Because very simply, if I'm reading scripture, it's God's word, so therefore I can't actually be wrong. Agreed? Okay. Hebrews 12, and it says here, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if you read Ephesians, in Ephesians 2, it says that we've been seated with Christ. And that is quite a heady thought, that we are not just sitting here, we've actually already been seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. And you know, that's scriptural. And you realize and think, why am I just sitting in a chair doing nothing? So one of the things that I believe with our church here, and not just with our church here, but there are other churches throughout the country, throughout the world, where the Lord is doing a new thing. The Lord is doing something new. And he wants people to continue to serve him. He wants people who will serve him in spirit and in truth. And we're at the stage now where no matter what's gone behind you, no matter what you've understood from the churches you've been in, the experiences you've been in here, and I know that the Grace Community Church has faced some serious challenges. There's been a sifting here. But I believe that sifting is happening throughout the world, throughout all the churches of God. There is a sifting taking place. And the question is, do you want to be sifted, or are you going to stand for what the Lord wants? And I look at you here, and I believe that every one of you here is here because you're prepared to stand, and that you have been sifted, and you are still here. And that genuinely encourages me. And so for me, we are going to serve the Lord in spirit. And one of the things that we've got to be very careful is that we need to understand the Lord's plan and purpose. We need to be dying to self. And these days, not a lot of churches will preach repentance, and not a lot of churches will preach the cross. And the cross is about dying to self. Matthew 6, 24, Luke 9. It says, unless you die to self, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Jesus, you can't actually have part of it. It's quite, the Lord himself is quite clear about what he desires from us. Picking up your cross and following Jesus to deny yourself, is that easy? It's not easy. And we cannot do it in ourselves. It's not possible as a man, as a woman, to actually be able to follow the Lord, to deny yourself completely and pick up your cross. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. And we're at the stage, I believe, where we need to be putting aside maybe our experiences, putting aside what we've learned, putting aside our setups, our programs, and to rely on the Holy Spirit. We're talking to Jeanette just now about the worship, where some churches on occasions will just allow anybody to get up and choose a hymn and a song. Let me tell you what, that's actually quite a hard and very difficult thing to actually do, to allow. It requires a genuine trust and faith in one another that we may not always have. And so we need to be very careful that we allow the Holy Spirit now to begin to move us. If I could read for you from John 12, verses 24, if anybody would like to go there with me, make sure I'm reading the right verse. Let me get John 12. You'll notice I've got the old-fashioned paper stuff here. I'm not that... yeah, I won't say anything, Andrew. I know you're watching it closely. You know, I truly value Andrew's faith in allowing me to get up and preach this morning. Most pastors are extremely jealous of who shares their pulpit. And so I would suggest that he's probably praying very quietly where nobody can hear him. And actually, it's a good... You know, I once took a very serious man, and I was asked to escort him driving around some years back. And when I say serious guy, one of those guys that you actually make him quite nervous, actually, he's a real man of God. and he was visiting, and so I was his driver. And he was sitting in the car, and while I'm driving, I could hear him praying in tongues. And I thought, is he praying because I'm driving? Or is he praying while I'm driving? You know, there's a very big difference. And very simply, you think, oh, well, okay, if he's praying for me, then am I doing it right? And you understand what I'm saying. But very simply, he was praying at all times, unceasingly. And what happens is he wasn't talking. I was driving, so he was praying. Praying in tongues, just for where we're going. He wasn't praying for me. I'm sure he did. I probably gave him good reason to, actually, with my driving. Anyway, still, if I want to read, can I read to you from John 12, 24 to 25? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now, what I want to get to here is very simply that the Lord wants us to continue to follow him. And we cannot follow him if we're not seeking him. We cannot follow him if we're not prepared to actually serve him with all that we have. Do we always serve the Lord with all that we have? I don't. I can't say that, because there are times in my life where you're inclined to slide. Is that the right word? Anyway, backslide. But very simply, it's a work of the Spirit in our hearts. And we've got to allow the Lord access to our hearts and allow him to do that work. And quite often, when you're in a situation where you're confronted, where you're required to pick up your cross, where you're required to deny yourself, you're inclined to step back and say, call Andrew. It's much easier when somebody calls you and you say, no, no, he's the pastor. No, Bernie, he's the guy who knows these people far better than I am. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there's a suffering, there's a requirement for sacrifice from your part to do what the Lord is wanting of us. And I believe that as time comes on, as he desires to do new work in us, that is going to become more and more a normal part of our Christian lives. And we need to be aware that the Lord is wanting something from us. And we need to be able to see the progress within each other. You know, Paul, when he wrote, we've been doing Timothy's a Bible study. And in 1 Timothy 4, you know, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, continue. Carry on reading, carry on scripture, carry on exhorting, carry on teaching, but that your progress would be evident to all. So if you're progressing as a Christian, people will see it. I see it. I'm sure Andrew's seen it. You look at people and you think, gee, they're growing. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we growing? Are we producing the fruit? Are we producing the harvest that the Lord wants of us personally? I'm talking about not other people, I'm talking about yourself. Because if you want to deal with other people, if you're going to have people coming in here, I truly believe, if you read Isaiah 54 verse 2, it says, enlarge your tent. You know, it's a whole bit of scripture there, you can go and look it up. But you go and read that bit of scripture, and I believe that is the Lord, the Lord is wanting to do that right here. And if we're not in a place of being able to handle what the Lord is bringing us, it's not going to happen. Or if it happens, it will be wasted effort. Is that, I'm trying to think of the right word. It'll dissipate. It won't stay. Because if it's a work of God and we're in the place where God can use us as servants, it will happen. And we need to be in the place of being here and ready in our hearts to let it happen. One of the things that was quite interesting, that Jeanette was talking about a blank canvas, which I had something in my heart before she shared this, and it just fits in so well with what I really wanted to share today, and that is, the Lord has put a blank canvas, and he says, when you're ready, I will show you what the picture is. Isn't that what you said? So, who's ready? Us. And the Lord wants us to be ready, because the Lord is going to paint the picture. But who is he going to paint it with? In other words, if there's not people here on earth to be able to do what the Lord wants, who's going to paint that picture? It's us. We are his body. We are his people. He's called us. He's chosen us. He has called every single one of you here by purpose and by plan for what he wants. The question I want to ask you this morning, I ask myself, please, it must come to me first. Do I want to change? Do I want to be in the place where the Lord will use me? Do I want to be saying, Lord, okay, I'm available, no matter what it is? Because most of us, the Lord said, well, how about this? Oh, no, hold on, no, not today, please. Maybe tomorrow, but I'm not ready. And I believe that if we're not ready, we're going to lose out. When I say lose out, I'm not talking about necessary blessings, but I'm just talking about the presence, the sheer presence of the Lord. The Lord giving us that rest, that peace, that provision that we need. And we need to be in that place saying, Lord, yes, I am available. You know, the Lord is building his church his way. And one of the things that has come to my mind is that there are a lot of things in my past experiences, whatever may be the case, which determine my thinking. I'm inclined to think a certain way. And that's how we should do it. So when I come to a church and I've been to other churches, they do it this way. You think, no, you don't do it that way. Who am I? Seriously. Who am I to actually say you shouldn't do it this way? What I should be doing is saying, Lord, Holy Spirit, and there's no check. The Lord says, go for it. Then you go for it. So if suddenly somebody decides to do something different in the service because the Holy Spirit is prompting them, are we ready to say, yeah, that's good? Are we ready in a place to perceive and actually discern that that is the Holy Spirit moving? I would actually challenge you on that. That we probably, I'd say most of you would probably go, including me. Oh, no, that's not the way we do it. And that is, to an extent, some of the churches I've been to, some of the mainstream churches that I've been to, some of the things that we do, if we did that in their church, you get thrown out. And I mean that seriously, because they would say, that's not the way we do it. Put you aside. So we need to be in a place now, I really believe, where the Lord is building something new. And he wants to build a church in spirit and in truth. We're talking about a spiritual body. Now, we're all here physically. And one of the things that in my life, I've been, most of my life in the church, I've been a Martha. I like to do things. He knows that. I like to do things. I like to. But you know what the Lord is saying? There comes a time for doing things. Yes, we all have to do something, like the canvas that we need to be used to paint that canvas. But very simply, there comes a time when you need to be a Mary, where you get to sit at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. I'm open. I'm available. Speak to me. Change my life. Grow me. Mature me. Do what you need. Repentance. And I'll speak of repentance quite openly, because I believe that as Christians, we should be living a repentant life. How often does the Lord challenge you? There's that little conscious tickle. And you think, yeah, don't worry, Lord, tomorrow we'll deal with it. It's not. It's to be dealt with now. And we need to be repenting before the Lord. We need to stand there and say, Lord, okay, forgive me. I'm sorry. Your wife, your partner, that's where denying yourself starts. That's where the cross takes effect in your life. Nobody's laughing. No, sorry. In all seriousness, you've got to understand that in terms of your couple, that is where your whole Christian life begins. Because if you cannot live within your couple, with your wife and your husband, how much chance have you got dealing with somebody else? And very simply, I need to be honest, in my life, in my married life, I've been married a long time. No, I've been married 47 years. Okay? And very simply, if I were to say that those 40 years have been really cool, I'd be lying. Because there's a time in my life where I didn't have a marriage. It wasn't there anymore. But you know what I've come to understand is that the Lord has grace. As you prepared to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, help me with this. And the Lord is there for you. The grace is there. And the Lord has blessed me with a marriage that I wouldn't want to change ever again. But there was a time when, seriously, I don't think we spoke for about 2 years. I'm not too sure. But the Lord's graceful. The Lord has got so much grace for us when we go to him and say, Lord, forgive me. And so we need to practice repentance. We need to be in a place, Lord, where we can say, Lord, I need you in my life. Because without the Lord, we cannot do anything. You know, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. And as you put the Lord first, as you ask him to work in you, he will allow you to do whatever it is that He puts in front of you. The sufficiency, you know, Paul speaks about the sufficiency of God for his own life. The Lord will provide everything we need. If he takes us somewhere, he will provide for us. So if you sit there and say, Lord, we can't do this. Well, I can't do this. The Lord says, I want you to do it. He will provide. He will make sure that whatever we need is there for us. It may not be the way we think we need it, but it'll be the way he knows we need it. And so for me, John 4:23, it talks about we should serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. In fact, let me just read that. John 4:23. Right, it says here, but this is where Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And you must know that for a Jew to speak to the Samaritan at the well, by himself, as a Jew, knowing that she's a loose woman, was literally a big black X against her life as far as the Jews were concerned. So he broke every single protocol that you can think of. So it was very simple. He had no problem with who she was. There was no racism there. There was no gender issues there. There was nothing. It was just very simply his concern for her life. And that's why he was there, specifically for her. And anyway, she talked about where they worshipped in the mountains or Jerusalem. It says, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the Lord is wanting a people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And we need to be in a place of stirring up the gifts within us so that we can discern. We've got a body around us. And really what is happening is the Lord is wanting us to grow our faith, to grow our trust in him, and to grow our trust in one another. I'll read a couple of scriptures here. How long am I with you? I'm going to be like him now. Watch. No. And basically, what is the Lord is wanting us to do is to allow the Spirit to work in our hearts, and he wants us to now step out in faith and be confident or expectant of the consequences of stepping out in faith. When we talk about consequences, everybody talks about the bad side of consequences. But we need to look at the fact that by our actions, there are always consequences. And we look for the consequences that are pleasing to God and the blessings or the situations that will flow from that. And so we need to be aware that stepping out in faith is a hard thing. It can be very difficult. But we need to know what the Lord has promised us. Andrew has been talking quite a lot, speaking, preaching, sharing quite a lot on having faith for like the healings, the faith for other people. And you know, one of the things I've found is that to have faith, it needs to be based on the truth. And how do we know the truth? Very simply, we need to read the scripture. I'm not talking about going to Bible school necessarily or spending hours every day, but I'm talking about knowing the scriptures that matter to the Lord, to you in that particular situation. You need to know the scriptures. You need to know what your faith is based on. And what I enjoyed with Andrew's preaching, he's very quick, I must be honest, because I can keep up with him. And that is, he quotes everything. He quotes a scripture. Am I right? Very quick, but I'm getting it. But very simply, those scriptures are there. You just write them down. It means you can go home and check them. And if I speak something or share something or preach something from here that is not scriptural, I would like you to come and talk to me. Because I need to know if I'm not right. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, I need to know that I'm sharing what the Lord wants me to share from the scripture. And very simply, we look at the fact that sometimes faith, by the way, sorry, I read a very good little article from Grace Community Church. Not this one. I don't know if you know Grace Community Church in the States. It looks after a guy called MacArthur, a very knowledgeable man in the scriptures. And he writes about reckless faith. And he's talking about a lot of the charismatic movements, a lot of the Pentecostal movements where the Lord does something in a meeting. The next day, the next month, next year, it's doctrine now. This is the way we work, because the Lord did it that way. If you have a look at Jesus' miracles, he never repeated them. They're always different. So we should never get hung up on things that are not the truth. And very simply, he says we need to be careful of what he calls reckless faith. Faith that has come from the mouth of the man at the front without you checking the scripture. Okay, it's fact. If we're not quoting scripture to go with what we're sharing, we can tell you anything. And a lot of churches who don't actually read the Bible, they just listen to the man at the pulpit. And in fact, if you look at Islam and the way Islam works, that's exactly how it works. It's the man at the front who sets the pace. It may not be specific to the scriptures, but we need to be very careful that we're listening to the truth. And the truth is what will set us free. And the other thing is that when it comes to this in terms of building a body, the Lord needs each and every one of you. There is nobody here who is exempt from the fact that the Lord needs each and every one of you. Because he's building a body, and in that body, everybody is required. Everybody is needed to make that body function. You may think you have no gifts. You may think you have nothing. But just by being here this morning is an encouragement. You are a gift in yourself. And one of the other things, just talk about gifts. I was talking with Bernie and Jill about it. Very simply, one of the gifts, have you ever considered the fact that you may be a bit old? Anybody here feeling a bit old? Okay, no, I won't do that. But if you go to Isaiah 46, in fact, let me read that for you. It's actually a really good piece of scripture which we dug out many years ago as I found myself getting a bit grayer and older. And Isaiah 46, isn't it? Hopefully. Oh, gosh. Is that Isaiah 46? Isaiah 46. Okay, here we go. Right. This is Isaiah. It's just a bit of a sideline for this morning. If you're ever feeling a little bit old and that you're not really capable of serving the Lord and blah, blah. Listen to me, O house of Jacob and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. And I just find that such an encouragement because the Lord knows that we're all going to get old somewhere along the line. And you get physical infirmities, whether we like it or not. We have a frail body that we're attached to. But it doesn't stop you praying. You know, we underestimate the power of prayer. And if you can't do anything else, sorry, I'm being quite open here. If you can't do anything else, pray. Because we need prayer. I need prayer more than Andrew does. I need prayer. He needs quite a bit too. But what I'm saying is we all need prayer because God, it's not an easy thing to walk the walk that this man has in front of him. I'm not a pastor and the Lord hasn't made me one. But I will come alongside and I will support this man because that's what the Lord wants. And he wants all of us to be part of the body. And if you want to have a look at 1 Corinthians 12. Let me get a couple of scriptures here to back me up. How long have I got, Andrew? All right.
Give me another 6 minutes.
This is where Andrew says this is the last scripture. Now hold on a minute. Let me get this is not the last scripture. No, if we can 1 Corinthians, where am I? I've lost it now. It's moving too much. 1 Corinthians 12, and I won't read all of it, but I want to read bits and pieces of it, if I may. But very simply, he's talking about spiritual gifts. He's talking about the gifts and the fact that, in fact, let me read it. Therefore I've made known to you, this is from verse 3, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Because that's who we belong to. That's who lives within us. That's who guides us, strengthens us. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the bodies of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And he speaks about by the Spirit we've been baptized into the same body. We've been baptized into that body of Christ. And what we do is I just want to skip possibly a few. If we go to verse 18, it says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So it's not got to do with, oh Lord, I want to be in the music team. Okay, but the Lord's saying, no, I actually want you to stand on the door. Or, I'm in the music team, but I want to stand on the door. Tough, Emma, you're standing in the music team. No. Very simply, we need to understand that the Lord places us, not necessarily where we think we should be, but where we really should be. And that's discerning, is to understand, say, Lord, okay, thank you. That's who I am, that's what you want me to be. Are you just the person who makes the tea? Coffee, most important. Seriously, a church runs on, never mind. If you understand what I'm saying, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, when I first began serving in the church, you know what my job was? I used to put the chairs away and sleep the floor. Because that's what was in front of me. Nobody else was doing it, so you do it. And very simply, that's what we all need to understand. Where does the Lord want me to be? And it's not the big gifts that we should be looking for. You know, just the simple act of texting someone to encourage them. You know, quite often we were talking about it the other day. The Lord puts somebody on your heart and say, you pray for them. Lord, I want to pray for them. What else did you do? Did you text them and say, hey, I'm praying for you? Do you know how encouraging it is when you are sitting facing a mountain and you're facing a mountain? Nobody knows about it. You're facing a mountain, you get a text saying, hey, praying for you, my brother. Hang in there. Wow. You know what that means to me? God's listening. God's available. God's there because he's made someone else pray for me. Think about that. And we need little things. Sorry, these are little things that we need to be growing together as a body here. And one of the things that we need to do is that is to allow us to be fitted into where he wants us. The Lord in Ephesians, he talks about molding the body. Molding it means literally there's a bit of squeezing and pushing and shoving. And we need to be molded into this body that he wants us to be in. And the other thing he wants is a unity in the body. Sorry, where was I? It says, yeah, if we go to verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And he has put aside people, the Andrews of this world, to grow us and to bring us to the place of maturity in Christ. And we need to understand that, I know you're supportive, you guys have been here a long time, I'm new in that regard. But I do understand that the Lord is doing something very new indeed. And we need to fit in. Because if we don't have a unity in this body here, when the pressure comes, it won't hold. And we need to be in a place of growing together where we have faith and trust in one another and in the Lord to make that trust and faith. Because, as I say, when the pressure comes, we need to be a body. We need to stand as one. Because if we're not standing and praying for one another and looking after one another, we are going to be in serious trouble because it will fragment. And let me tell you what, there's somebody out there who has not got the best intention of Jesus' church in their hearts. There are people whose intentions for us are not good. And it's simple. You look around the world today. You look at what's going on in social media. You look at what's going on. we need to be very careful, because we need to be standing together. And if Philippians 2, if I could just read that very quickly. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, to those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We need a unity, and we need to grow to trust and have faith in one another. Is that going to come easy? Building requires sacrifice. And to build a church, to build a body that the Lord wants, is going to require sacrifice from each and every one of you, including me. It starts with me. It has to start with me. And the Lord is challenging us that we need to have the same mind as Jesus. And what was Jesus' approach? Jesus humbled himself. You know, one of the biggest blocks that we have as Christians in our service, in our prayers, is pride. I see it in myself. We all have pride, and pride is a block to serving. Pride is a block to prayer. And each and every one of us, I believe the Lord for me, is challenging, and the word that I have very clearly today is we need to humble ourselves. You know, in 2 Chronicles, it talks about if my people who are called by my name, we all know that. One of these days I'd like to share on that. And very simply, we need to be in a place of humbling ourselves. And was just reading an article which reminded me that one of the greatest ways of humbling yourself, it's not the only way, is fasting. When was the last time you guys talked about fasting? Fasting and prayer. People fasting. Yeah, I'll pray for you, but fasting. Hold on. Look, obviously there are medical conditions which don't allow you. You shouldn't fast. But the Lord is challenging us to humble ourselves. And one of the finest ways of humbling yourself is by fasting. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about afflicting your soul. When they bring the people together and say, afflict your soul. Do you know what that means? Very simply, that you need to fast. Because that's what they meant in the Old Testament, to afflict your soul. Because we made up of spirit, soul, body. And very simply, the soul is the seat of your will, your intellect, your emotions, your will. And it's the be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is your soul. And that is what the scripture needs to do. That's what we need to do, allow our hearts to be open to the Lord. You know, and the biggest block is the pride. And we need to submit to one another. When was the last time you guys genuinely considered submitting to one another? I find that it's in the Spirit, guys. It's in the Spirit, and it's led by the Holy Spirit that we need to submit ourselves to one another. In closing, only one more scripture. In closing, I just want to say we need to have the same attitude as Jesus, and that was humility. It was humble. It was humble before the Lord. It was humble before one another. It's something that I believe every man that I know, every woman that I know, and even the kids suffer from pride. And pride is a block to our prayers and to our service. And you know, I go back to prayer. If you can't do anything else, pray. Prayer is a gift and a privilege that we've been given by the Lord. You know, so even if you can't think of what your gifting may be, it's not important. What is important is serving the Lord. And if you're there to pray for one another, it is the greatest gift I believe the Lord has ever given us. And that is the privilege of praying. The privilege of being come openly before the Father. Because that's what Jesus has done for us. He's allowed to come before the Father. So to encourage you that we do need to seek the Lord. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom and everything else is going to be added to you. And very simply, we need to put it in perspective. If you go to 2 Chronicles 7 where it says, if my people who are called by my name, you must read that. I challenge you to go and read that. It is, where am I? Sorry, I've got a scripture here somewhere for it. It is 2 Chronicles 7. I think it is 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. Go and read that, because the Lord asks the people of Israel to do something. He says, if you humble yourselves, I will. And we need to look at that. That is a principle of the Lord's. We need to be careful. You know, I had a discussion with an unchristian, non-Christian, but yeah, I've been asking the Lord to do things and he won't listen to me. And I'm afraid I sort of had the comment, well, why should he? You know, you don't belong to him, so why should he listen to you? No, I actually said something else. But whether I like it or not, in my heart I was saying, well, why should he listen to you when you're actually not one of his people? But he does listen to non-Christians. And he does perform miracles for them. But generally for us as his people, he wants us to be in a place where we are humble and we are seeking him. We've got open hearts and available to him. And in Philippians 1 verse 6, it says very simply, what the Lord has begun, he will finish. And so from that side, I want to encourage you to allow the Lord to change your heart. When I say change it, yes, change it, grow it, mature it. Allow him to continue working in your heart. Because if we're not in the place where he can use us, we will lose out. And that canvas that Jeanette was talking about, it's such a graphic picture for me. He needs people to put that picture on. It's a vision. It's an eternal vision. And so for me, I just want to encourage you, please, have a look at what the Lord wants of you. Be honest with him. Examine yourself and say, Lord, what do I need to change? I know the habits, things in my life that the Lord is changing. Maybe they don't happen overnight. Most of the time they don't. But it's a work in progress. There is progress. Are you going forward or are you sitting? Are you sitting on a bench saying, gee, Lord, thank you. The Lord wants us to do something for him. And we need to put ourselves in the right place with the right attitude of heart so he can use us. And I truly believe we will see great things. We will see things that we just do not understand. But we will know they come from God. But if we're not in the place of allowing him to accept those, we'll be saying, nah, we don't do that in this church. But we do. Because here, we will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your scripture, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we have your word that is available to us all the time, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that for each and every one of us, we'd spend that time, Lord, to seek you as we should, Lord. And not necessarily just a permanent quiet time, but in those moments of quiet, Lord, that you give us, Lord, to seek you, to allow you to talk to us, to allow you to work in our hearts, to allow you to change us, to make us fitting for your service, Lord. For Lord, your scripture speaks of the fact that you are the potter and we are the clay. Lord, allow us to let you mold us, to let you change us, to make us who you truly want us to be, Lord, for your service. Lord, that we would deny ourselves. Lord, that we would pick up our cross and we would follow you, Lord. Lord, help us to put aside our carnal desires, because we know we cannot do it in ourselves, but Holy Spirit, you are there for us as we desire you to help us. So I thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've seen fit to choose us, to call us for your service and for your service. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.